Another Confederate monument came down overnight, this one in Decatur, Georgia. The Lost Cause Monument is the latest in a long list of monuments or statues that have come down in recent weeks following the death of George Floyd and the nationwide protests over police brutality and racial injustice. Among them, a statue of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy in Frankfort, Kentucky, a statue honoring Confederate soldiers in Jacksonville, Florida. In Indiana, a monument for Confederate soldiers who died in a Union prison camp. And in Fredericksburg, Virginia, an 800-pound slave auction block was removed. Joining us now is Vernon Burton, professor of history at Clemson University. Professor, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about this extraordinarily important time.
Well, and you're there in South Carolina, which was the first state to secede from the Union ahead of the Civil War. Are you seeing a reckoning with the past there?
I really am, Jeremy. And we, I think, are living through a revolution, not unlike the Civil Rights Movement. And, you know, good revolutions are both exhilarating and a time of awareness. And it's also, I think, a really teachable moment about what both history is and how we commemorate history and how we learn our history.
Well, taking the statues and monuments down, of course, does not end racism. What does it mean when they come down? What does it signify to you?
Well, one of the things is that the incredible last few years, we're seeing what college professors, college historians have known a long time, what these monuments have represented. When you look at a monument, the first thing you have to do is ask, is it a monument to Robert E. Lee, or is it a monument that was put up for some other reason? And it's both, usually. They were put up at a certain time to represent, in fact, white supremacy, at a time in particular when black people in the South are being denied their political rights, and it all ties together. What we're seeing, I think, though, is a result of years of teaching that have reached out now to public school teachers, and better history is being taught so that we can put these things much more into their proper context. In the American South is now a much more pluralistic society. It is a pluralistic society. But I think it's going to take a long time. These things can also have a backlash. What it means, we must, I think, also understand that while seeing a Confederate statue at the courthouse, which are throughout the South, you know, thousands of these monuments went up between 1890 and particularly 1910, 1920 in this Jim Crow period. While that may represent to one group of citizens, Confederate soldiers, their bravery in fighting, to another, it stood at the courthouse entrance, which said, you will not receive justice here, mm-hmm. to another group of citizens. So these things are very symbolic, and they mean different things to different people.
Well, what do you say to people who say this is going too far? Republican Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri is blocking an effort to remove Confederate statues from the U.S. Capitol building. And we've heard others say that if you start down this road, you'll have to rename Washington, D.C. because George Washington owned slaves.
Well, I think they're easy. We've always changed things. Things change. But I think we have good models. We have good models where Baltimore and particularly New Orleans held public hearings to make decisions, to have their citizens make decisions. Remember when so many of these things went up, African Americans were not even at the political table. It's not till 1965 that you get the Voting Rights Act, and then it's not until the 1970s you even begin to get African Americans elected to state legislators. Most of these monuments, now not all, but most of them were put up by private organizations like the United Daughters of Confederacy on public land without the approval, really, of all the citizens. And then later state legislatures, particularly those dominated by whites, many of them just all white at the time, take them over and pass laws like Heritage Act laws that say that it's very makes it very difficult to get these changes made. But I never thought I'd live to see the day when John C. Calhoun's statue would be removed in Charleston, South Carolina, but the mayor just announced that. That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Well, I remember we spoke with you when South Carolina decided to remove the Confederate flag from the State House grounds back in 2015, which was a really stunning moment. But, in Mississippi, the Confederate battle flag is still part of the state flag. Do you think something like that can last in this environment?
I'm not certain. I was wrong because I thought that it would be much more difficult to get the Confederate flag down when it came down. But remember, under the horrible circumstances, which we've just had the 5-year commemoration of the Mother Emanuel massacre, right. And so much of that, I think, was because there was a state legislature who was murdered, who was beloved. And secondly, even more important was the reaction of the families of the massacred victims who spoke of grace and forgiveness that then spoke across a culture in the South of religion that's similar for blacks and whites. So especially time, this seems to me much more like the civil rights movement, triggered by seeing in this new social media world the actual events of something like George Floyd's death, basically a public lynching, and realizing what all of this has meant symbolically to so many people. So at the same time, when, as with the Confederate flag coming down and with the civil rights movement of the 1960s, when businesses get behind these changes, I think that impossible becomes possible. But I also think we need to have education. People learn. And there's a generation that was taught in the history books that these symbols mean something very respectful, something that they're to cherish as part of their heritage. And I think we still have a long way to go in explaining that they also mean other things and that they were put up for the specific purposes, not just of recognizing Robert E. Lee or Jefferson Davis as leaders, but to make a statement about white supremacy. So you have to ask both of these questions. Exactly what was the monument about? If you think back about it, the sort of propaganda starts with when Brown v. Board happened. Mississippi is just one example. Passed a law, the legislature did, that said we have to teach Mississippi history. As a historian, I love that. But the reason was to preserve our way of life. And what was that way of life? It was segregation. It was, at best, having African Americans as second-class citizens. And we understand that now. And there's certainly been, for the last 20 years, in colleges, it's been understood. And I really think that the heroes, and they really are heroes, who teach in the public schools have done a tremendous job in changing the way our history has been taught so that people better understand what all of these symbols mean.
Do you think that the military bases that are named after Confederate generals like Fort Bragg in North Carolina, do you think those names will survive this?
Unless the president vetoes it or stops the military, I doubt it. But I think you might want to consider keeping Fort Bragg, where I did my basic training, because he was such a bad general that it helped the Union win the army, even though he was a Confederate general. So there's a little bit of irony in renaming Fort Bragg. But I just don't know. Historians are not very good prophets. But I think eventually they will be changed. We forget that the Civil War was about disunion, that the attack on Fort Sumter is like 9/11 or Pearl Harbor. And that's how those in the Union really experienced it. We rewrote this history so that we don't remember that every single Confederate state had a regiment of whites who fought for the Union, and that African Americans ran away from slavery and fought for the Union. And Lincoln said those African American soldiers made a huge difference in winning the war. So it was a much more divided society than the monuments we look at today on the landscape would tell us. In fact, these monuments were partly about creating a unity that was not there even during the Civil War among white Southerners. And that is part of the role that they have played, is creating that unity. So I think we need to think about that as well as we do it. The other side, and it's rather sad, is it does mean something to many white Southerners that is different and that they cherish. So and that they identify as part of their ethnicity. And particularly as times are changing so dramatically in this country and everywhere, from recessions to the pandemic, all of these things, I think, add into why this is a revolutionary moment, when what was impossible becomes possible.
That is Vernon Burton, a professor of history at Clemson University. Professor Burton, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.